This message in which Jesus of what is true and important about what it looks like to be a Christ follower, to be a Christian, to be a person of faith. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Our Father who art in heaven. This is a statement of faith. A statement of faith in God. As I spent time with this and have ruminated on it for weeks, it's been interesting what God has done in terms of my own being and my own understanding and my own thinking about all of this. The reality that the thing that's of most importance, the thing that is of first importance to us, is the reality of the acknowledgement of God. The acknowledgement that God is God. Our Father. This is our dad. This is our God whom we come to. This is the first piece of any part of theology. This is the first piece of any part of faith. Our Father, acknowledging the reality of our God. A statement of faith. The second piece that we see, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. So we state our faith in God. And then the next thing we do is we state how important God is to us and in our world. We make a statement of worship. Hallowed be your name. One of the things that the Bible talks about is not taking the name of our Lord in vain. And all of us have been in places where we have heard this done many, many times, over and over again. As I'm with people, and I try to rub shoulders with people who aren't Christians, who don't know the Lord, it often comes that people are making statements and saying things that are not honoring of God. And there's a sense in which I've heard it so much that I just kind of let it fly over without making a difference. And yet there is always this sense of, I wish you didn't have to say that, because it's not honoring my Lord and my God. And God is everything to me. God is all. He's everything to me. And so when I speak or hear someone else speak of my Lord and my God in a way that is not honoring him, it hurts. I feel it. And there are times that I will say something. There are times I don't say something when that happens. So first of all, we make a statement of faith about the fact that God is God. Secondly, we worship him. And this worship is something that should happen every moment of every day as we walk through life. The moments that are high on our excitement agenda, in which something happens that we say, wow, God, you're good. And the moments where we're quiet and where there are things that happen that, like Marge shared about their granddaughter. I don't know if you caught it, but Marge feels that deeply. And we worship God. We worship God because that's who we have. And then that last piece of this, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. How do you pray? What do you say to God? Well, this statement, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, it is an acknowledgement of God's sovereignty. It's a statement of God's sovereignty. God, I know you're sovereign. I know you have a plan. I know you're in control. And it doesn't matter where we are or what's happening. One of the very, very important pieces, one of the very important things for us to react, to realize and acknowledge is the fact that we don't have to worry because God's got it in control. God knows what he's doing. I don't have to fear. I don't have to be afraid. I don't have to worry because God is sovereign and he is in control. And one of the interesting things that I've been talking about a lot recently is the kingdom of this world and the kingdom of God. And we realize what's said here in the beginning of this prayer. Thy kingdom come. We're talking about God's kingdom, acknowledging that this is God's kingdom, and acknowledging the reality that God's kingdom is going to come, both on earth, here on earth in this time and now, his will is going to be done, and in heaven as that time comes. One of the things I've thought about in relation to this first part of the prayer is, you know, my thought is this. You know, it's absurd to think and believe that I and my prayers have the importance and the power to make a difference in what God is able to and is going to do. Did you ever think of that as you prayed this prayer? It's absurd for me to think that I can pray to God that my prayer is going to make a difference in what happens. Because God's God. You know, I don't need to pray, God, I want your will to be done. I'm going to pray. Who am I praying to? Who's going to help God get his will done? I'm already praying to God. And God knows, and God's will is going to be done. And so as I've spent time with this, it has just been a powerful new revelation to me, I think, of the reality that this first part of this prayer is really a statement of faith for us as we acknowledge who God is and as we acknowledge the reality of his sovereignty in relationship to our world. The beginning of the Lord's Prayer is maybe the most important statement of faith that we can make in relationship to our lives and our belief as Christians. Okay, the second piece of this is a very, very short phrase. Give us this day our daily bread. God invites us to pray for our temporal needs. So when we come and we say, yo, we want to pray for Marge, Art and Marge's granddaughter. We want to pray for Dan's neighbor and friends. And we want to pray for this little boy who's going to have the kidney transplant. God invites us to pray for our temporal needs, for those things that we need, for food on our table, for roof over our head, for the things that are part of our lives every day. God invites us to pray and ask for those things. Now, there are two things to understand here in regard to this. Number one, in verses 7 and 8, as we read the passage earlier, Jesus says, and when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them. And here it is, for your heavenly Father knows what you need before you ask him. Your heavenly Father knows what you need even before you ask. So we need to understand, God knows our needs, okay? God knows what we need. So as we come to prayer, he's already aware of that. The second piece of this comes in a parable that Jesus shared with his disciples. The parable of the persistent widow, as it's identified in the scriptures. And this widow kept coming and praying to Jesus, kept asking, and it wasn't Jesus, but it was, you know, the person who was over her who could give her something. So she just kept praying, kept asking. And Jesus says, this is a good thing. He states it this way. And will not God bring justice to his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? So on the one hand, he invites us to pray for our temporal needs. He already knows we need them. But he invites us to come. He invites us to come in prayer and ask him for those things. So keep praying. Understand that God knows what we need, but also understand that God wants to know how deeply we feel about these things that are important to us. So as we come together on Sunday mornings and as we worship together and as we share our prayer concerns, as we pray together, you know, I want you to know that I'm aware that there are things that aren't shared Sunday mornings that you all feel very, very deeply. And I know you're going before the Lord with these things. Know that this is what God wants. He wants us to come before him. He wants us to keep praying for these things that are our needs. He wants to know how deeply we feel, just like that persistent widow. And he knows and he cares. The third piece, then, in terms of this prayer, is this. Forgive us our debts or our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us or those who are around us. We pray for our spiritual condition. We pray for our spiritual well-being. We pray, first of all, for our personal sin. God, forgive me for this sin or this sin or this sin. We pray for that which is ours, that personal sin that is ours. We say, God, forgive me, knowing that as we do that, God does come and forgive us. And then the second part of that, it states, as we forgive others, okay? Lord, forgive me, even as I forgive others. Again, here is that piece of who God has created us to be as relational people. So, do I forgive Margaret? I'd better. Does she forgive me? She'd better. We're in relationship. To keep that relationship the way it should be, there needs to be forgiveness. So, we forgive, we ask forgiveness. Spiritual condition. The fourth part, then, is this. We pray for help with our weakness. Lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil. We need to understand that God is not going to lead us into temptation. James chapter 1, verses 13 to 15. Listen to what James says. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it is conceived, gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. And then, in addition to what James says, we have this passage where Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane before his crucifixion. And Jesus is going to pray. He takes a couple of the disciples and brings them closer to where he's going to pray. He prays for a bit and then he comes back to them and they're sleeping. And this is what Jesus says. Jesus, as he prays in Gethsemane and the disciples' weariness, he says, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. When we're tired, when we're under stress, when we're in pain, we're vulnerable to sin. There have been numerous ministers of high profile who have fallen to sin. One of the things that has become evident in them telling their stories is the reality that these persons have been under great stress in their ministry. They've often been very tired because they've been giving and giving and giving. And it's oftentimes when they're very tired and under severe stress that the temptation that comes is yielded to. Jesus says to these disciples, "Pray lest ye fall into temptation." Prayer should be a time of rest for us. Should be a time of renewing our spirit. We ask God's forgiveness. We say, "God, help us with our weakness." And we're all weak. And there are times that we're all very weak. There are times that those temptations come when we're tired that, you know, we just fall to and we give into in ways that we would not otherwise. So Jesus comes and he says, "Lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil." Lord, deliver me from the desires of my flesh. Deliver me from those times when I don't have the strength to stand, those times when I'm weak and I want to stand. One of the things in some of my reading that I'm doing about the body of Christ, the church, one of the things they talk about is the reality that we're a family who needs to care for each other in looking at each other's lives and saying, "You know, I don't think you're acting in character with what you believe." One of the things we do sometimes is, you know, we're Christ followers, we're Christians, we want to live like a Christian. And 99% of the time we do, but, you know, every once in a while, that weakness carries over to temptation that carries into sin. And we need to be able to say to each other, "Friend, I don't think you're living the way you want to live." And we need to help each other to stand when we're weak. Finally, this is a test of our faith. This is a test of our belief in our God and Jesus Christ. Jesus says in verses 14 and 15 at the end of the Lord's Prayer, that typically is not a part of the Lord's Prayer, but Jesus makes this statement. He says, "If you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Seems like a hard statement. I believe this is a statement of the reality of our faith. It's a test that shows whether or not we really have faith in our God. You see, if I believe and exercise faith and say that God is God, and if I truly believe that, then I worship Him and I give honor to Him. I give my allegiance to God and to God alone. My allegiance is to my God and to God alone. And then what I do is I obey. So, how much do I believe in God? What's the test of my faith? It's my obedience. Because if truly I believe, if truly I have faith, then I'm going to say to myself, whatever God says in His Word, whatever He gives us in the Bible is something that I need, and I'm going to do it. It's like going to the doctor, and the doctor saying, "Dale and Margaret, you need to take a 2-month sabbatical." And us leaving saying, "Oh, we don't need that. We're not going to do that." And what happens? We suffer. We don't believe what our doctor's saying. And so we don't take his advice. Well, if we truly believe that God is God, who he says he is, if his word is his word, then what we want is we want to know what that word is and we want to obey it. So a true test of faith is our obedience to God's word. Are we doing what God asks us to do? How should we pray? Give honor and worship to God. Acknowledge God. How should we pray? Ask God for his help for our temporal needs. How should we pray? Ask God's help for our spiritual condition. How should we pray? Ask God's help for obedience. When I live my life this way, it relieves me. It relieves me of anxiety. When I pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done," then I'm not praying, "God, I want my kingdom to come. I want my will to be done." What does it mean to be obedient? It means to follow what God wants. What does it mean to be able to rest and relax in the power of the God of all creation? It's giving allegiance to him. It's acknowledging who he is. It's being obedient to him. So, this Lord's Prayer, it has a lot to say to us. It should mean a lot to us. You know, there have been a number of creeds that have been written that are statements of faith by the church, the larger church. To me, this Lord's Prayer can be a statement of faith that means as much as any of those creeds that have been written in years past. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, here on earth as it is in heaven. Oh God, give us what we need today. Provide bread for our table. Take care of me. Heal me. Lord, forgive me even as I forgive others. And oh God, boy, I need your help because I'm weak and yield to temptation often. This is Jesus teaching for us. It's a great statement of faith. If you haven't prayed it recently, when you do the next time, I trust that your thinking will be something that's deeper and broader and fuller than it was before. We're going to sing now this closing hymn, "Hallelujah, Praise Jehovah."